Welcome to the preaching podcast from the Bonners Ferry Baptist Church in Bonners Ferry, Idaho. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Therefore, we believe it is our duty to hold fast and to hold forth the truth, which is the Word of God. We're glad that you're listening and hope that you will be encouraged by what you hear today.
Would please turn to Proverbs chapter 9. I'm going to go ahead and turn there, and then I'm going to read the whole chapter of Proverbs chapter 9. And then we'll go ahead and pray. Beginning of verse 1, Proverbs chapter 9 says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beasts, she hath mingled her wine, she hath also furnished her table. She hath sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Let's go ahead and pray once more. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word once more. Thank you that for how rich your word is. Thank you for the book of Proverbs, and thank you that you have given us your word and that you promised to preserve it to every generation. Thank you that we know that we have the truth right here in your word. Thank you for the message that you've given me in answer to prayer. Pray that you might help somebody through it this evening, and I pray you'd help me to just to have clarity of mind as I give it now, and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Getting off, I've always been intrigued by this passage here. Every time I read the book of Proverbs, I come to this chapter here, and I've always kind of wondered, you know, I love the book of Proverbs. It seems like I could like read one chapter over and over and over, and I get something new out of it every single time I read. I could read it the same day over and over and over, and I get something new out of it every single time, and I'm just to be honest, I'm quite excited about this message, just because of how deep this chapter is. I've never seen some of the things that I've seen in here. It's always been here. I'm not saying I found some new mystery. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I found this new doctrine. It's amazing it's the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's just amazing how much is in one chapter here. It's just still amazing to me. So I'd like to preach on, like to title it, Wisdom and Folly. And of course, I'm not going to be able to cover everything about wisdom and folly, but I'm just going to go out of this chapter here because it's divided into two parts. You have the first part talking about wisdom personified as a woman. And I used to think of the foolish woman like the strange woman. I think it can be applicable as the strange woman here, but more so, I think it's referring to folly being personified as a woman. So you have folly and wisdom there, and it's contrasted with each other within the chapter. So let me pull up my notes here so I'm not going blind on what I'm on the message tonight. That'll be helpful to me and to you, so I don't go all over the place. But first, I think one of the keys to understanding Proverbs, first of all, is prayer. You got to pray about it. But second of all is defining the terms. So for one, there's three words that are used throughout Proverbs, and I know I always struggle with them. It's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And I think they're all interlocked with each other. But here we go. I know these will not be the perfect definitions, but basically, knowledge is just the facts about something. Knowledge is just the facts. You take the facts about something. I know that, okay, the wall is gray. You know, these are facts. This is knowledge. Knowledge is it 1 Corinthians 13? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity, is that 1 Corinthians 13? 1 Corinthians 8? 1 Corinthians 8. It says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. All of us have knowledge about things. We all know facts and stuff. But then understanding, I'm going to read some definitions. I think my dad's read these definitions before from Webster's 1828 dictionary. I look in Strong's, and Strong's usually is not very helpful in that you look up the word and he basically just says the same word over and over again. Like understanding, to understand, knowledge, understanding. It's like, that does not help me at all. So anyways, understanding says the faculty of the human mind by which it apprehends the real state of things being presented to it, or by which it receives or comprehends the ideas which others express and intend to communicate. Understanding is called also the intellectual faculty. It is the faculty by which, by means of which we obtain a great part of our knowledge. He lists Luke chapter 24, which I think is an excellent example of what understanding here means. Luke 24 in the end of the chapter. So, to give context here, this is after Christ is raised from the dead. Let's see here, and forgive me, I did not write down the verse. Understanding. Here we go. Yes, 45. So he just appeared to them in the upper room where they were all hiding for fear of the Jews, and he had eaten the fish and the honeycomb. And it says, verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. In other words, they had the knowledge. Jesus had already told them, this is the scripture. This is what the prophets say. They had the knowledge. They had the verses. They knew these things. They knew all these things, which were written in the law of Moses. Which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So what I've said is, what understanding is, what I've deduced just by reading Proverbs, I think the best way to interpret the Bible is by the Bible itself, because usually it gives the definitions of the words if you just look far enough. Basically, understanding is putting the facts in the right spots. That's what understanding is, putting in the right spots in your mind, logically, being able to put the facts in the place where it belongs and in a logical way. And then there's wisdom. And these are kind of challenging to define, in my opinion. So bear with me. I hope I'm making sense. But wisdom, according to Webster's 1828, I think this is a really good definition as well. But it says, the right use or exercise of knowledge, the choice of laudable ends and of the best means to accomplish them. I think that's key, the best means. That's what wisdom is taking that understanding and being able to practically apply that understanding in the best and the most right way, if that is grammatically correct. I believe it is. Continuing on to the definition, it says, this is wisdom in act, effect, or practice. If wisdom is to be considered as a faculty of the mind, it is the faculty of discerning or judging that which is just, proper, and useful, and it is to be considered as an acquirement. It is the knowledge and use of what is best, most just, most proper, most conducive to prosperity or happiness. Wisdom is the first sense or practical. Wisdom is nearly synonymous with discretion. It differs somewhat from prudence. In this respect, prudence is the exercise of sound judgment, etc. I don't need to read the rest of the definition, but basically, knowledge of the facts, understanding is putting those facts in the right place, and then wisdom is being able to practically apply those facts in our everyday life in the most accurate way, in the best way that we possibly can. So I just wanted to lay that down before I even got into the outline. So the first point I'd like to look at is the premise of wisdom. The premise of wisdom can be seen in verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. in order to have any true wisdom, we must fear the Lord, because in order to have wisdom, we have to be able to know the truth. You can be worldly wise. You can be wise in this world, and that's based on the facts of this world, but when your goal is wrong, then it's not really wisdom. If you're going from the wrong premise, you're going from the wrong foundation, it's not really wisdom in and of itself. I think it's right here, actually. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Why is it foolishness to them? Because they're seeking the wrong thing. They're seeking to live for themselves. Why is it not foolish, though? Because we're seeking to please the Lord. When we're fearing the Lord, the cross is not foolishness unto us, but it's the power of God unto us. That's just an example of it. If you have the wrong goal, you're never going to be wise. So wisdom must begin with the fear of the Lord, because truth can only come from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Jesus said, John 14:6, we already know this very well, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Without God, there is no truth. There is no truth as we know it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So, who does wisdom come from? Wisdom can only come from God through Jesus Christ, through His Word, through the Holy Spirit. That's who wisdom comes from. How do we get wisdom? James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." Why do we have to ask God? Because only wisdom can come from God. And again, 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is made to us wisdom. The only way we can be wise in any way, the only way we can make truly the best decision possible, is if we're doing it in accordance to God's will through His Word that He's already given to us. So the second point I'd like to look at, though, is the product of wisdom. So what if we are wise, if we fear God and we obey His commandments, which is what wisdom is obeying God. That's what wisdom is obeying God. What will result as what will be the result of that? So in verse 1, several other passages, but verse 1 we see that protection is provided when we are walking in wisdom. Protection is provided. It says, "Wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars." What is a house? A house is a place where we can be sheltered. A house is a place where we can get sleep, where we can get rest. So wisdom builds a house. I couldn't help but notice, let's see here, I wrote down 1 Peter 5:7, where it says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." God's always going to provide for our needs when we put our trust in Him. But also, I believe it's 1 Timothy 3:15. When I hear the words house and pillars together, this made me think of this verse. 1 Timothy 3:15. Let's see here. "But if I tarry long," Paul talking to Timothy, "but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." If we are going to be wise, I believe this is what this can be applicable in this way. Where is our safety as a Christian? Where is our safety? Where is our protection? It's in the house of God. That's the house of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. I believe this is applicable. Maybe I'm totally out of my mind here, but I think this is applicable. God has specifically created the church so that we may be edified, and so that we may be come together like this in the middle of the week. You know, we're out working in the world, and we can come together and we can strengthen each other and build each other up. And if we're wise, we're going to invest in that. We're going to invest in the church. We're going to invest in the body of God. The church is the body of God. My dad's just been going through all this. Christ died for the church. I don't think we truly appreciate its value, especially here in the United States, where we have churches everywhere. You can go online and watch sermons and stuff like that, and you don't appreciate it that much. But God has created the church for our safety. We all know the verse, and we probably don't like to hear it very often because of how much we've heard it, but Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If we want to be wise, one of the things we have to do is be faithful to church and invest in the church, the body of Christ. That's a necessity. How else is protection provided us? Through wisdom, by separation from sinners. In verse 6 of Proverbs 9. I'm sorry if I'm bouncing all over the place. There's so many things in this chapter, so if I'm going back and forth, I'm sorry. I got help from this, so I hope some of you can get help from this. But anyway, verse 6, it says, "Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding." An equivalent New Testament passage, I believe, would be 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, where he says, I'm just going to go over there so I can read the whole verse. It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." How else are we protected as Christians? By separating from the world, by separating ourselves from this world. This world is totally opposite and contrary to wisdom. I'll get into this later, but they are the definition of folly. That's the way of the world. Living to satisfy ourselves, living for the here and now, that's the world. We're supposed to be separate from that. And if we are wise, that's what we're gonna obey. All of this goes back to, we got to fear the Lord. If we don't fear the Lord, we're not going to obey him. He's already commanded us to do all these things. These are just several specific ways that we can obey the Lord and be wise. If we're going to be wise, we have to separate ourselves from sinners. And then not only is protection a product of wisdom, but provision is a product of wisdom, as seen in verses 11 and 12. And a few other verses here. It says, "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it." I think this can speak to verse 11. Physical days, you know, we're going to live longer physically, but not that we're going to live longer spiritually. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're going to be alive in heaven longer than, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we're going to have more rewards in heaven. If we are wise on this earth and we live in such a way as to lay up treasure in heaven, we're going to have a more bountiful entry, I think is what the phrase that Paul used, than those who invest in the here and now. Although they be saved, although they be going to heaven, and by the way, I'm not talking right now about unsaved people. I'm talking about saved people specifically. I figured that was just a given here. What I was talking about, but if we invest in the spiritual things, it may not be fun here in this life, but when we get to heaven, we're gonna reap profit. Who knows how much more. Than what we invest in it, if we invest in the right things, if we're wise spiritually, if we obey the Lord in investing in spiritual things. So there's not only there's provision for our spiritual needs. We can see in verse 5 of Proverbs 9, it says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled." And I couldn't help but think about this. He says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine." Of course, we know this is not intoxicated wine. We know this is the fruit of the vine. That's what this is talking about. This is not talking about, we all know this. This is the fruit of the vine. What do you think of when you think of bread and the fruit of the vine? Communion. Where do we get provision from the Lord? Communion with him in the bread, in prayer. It's all right here. And bread and the bread and the wine, or the fruit of the vine, talking about communion with the Lord. This is where we get our provision for the day. And the Lord, in the model prayer, what did he say? "Give us this day our daily bread." God's promised to provide us all of our needs, both spiritually and physically. The way in which he gives us sustenance spiritually is through his word and through prayer. And if we're wise, we're going to invest time in the bread and with communion, and in time with communion with God. We can do that here. We can do that in our personal time. But he's promised to provide our not if we're wise, we will not only have spiritual provision, but physical provision. And I've already alluded to this, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'm sorry. Let me go over there, Matthew 6:33. Yes, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We already know these verses, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just had a situation today where I had given up some financial, I had given up some money to help somebody, and it turned around, and the Lord gave me more than what I had given away to help the other person in the same day. It's things like that. God's promised, and you want to get excited. I want to get excited about it and be, oh wow, God actually provided for me. But he told us he's going to do that, so it's kind of like, well, yeah, we should kind of expect that. But he's promised to do that, provide for us spiritually, and the way he provides for us spiritually is through his word, and through prayer, communion with him, and then physically, same way. If we just take our needs to the Lord, casting our care upon him, he will care for us. It's a promise. So the product of wisdom, we have protection. We have through assembly with believers and separation from sinners, provision for our spiritual needs and physical needs. And then there will be proclamation of, back to Proverbs chapter 9, I'm already here. It says, verses 3-4, it says, she has sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she said to him, come eat of my bread. Anyway, it goes down through verse 12. This is just wisdom is sending out people, going out and telling other people about this wisdom, about the way of wisdom, which is to fear God and keep his commandments. I didn't write down this passage, but it just came to my mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is wisdom, to fear God and keep his commandments. But the whole point is, if we are wise, we're not going to keep this to ourselves. The wisdom is not to hold on to the blessings that God has given us through his word, the provision that he's given to us, the protection that he gives to us. We're supposed to go out and tell other people about it. Again, Dad's been mentioning all these verses just recently too. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, Acts 1:8. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. We're commanded to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And if we do not do that, we are being unwise. We are not being wise because we're not obeying the commandment that we've been given to do. A very sobering passage in my mind. Not only in my mind, it is a sobering passage. It should be sobering to us. If it's not, I think we've got problems. Verse 17 of Ezekiel chapter 3. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. These verses always, they always make me very sober to read these verses, because in application, what this means is if we have an opportunity to give the gospel to somebody, because that's what we're doing, we need to warn the wicked that he's on his way to hell. Is that true? Are people on their way to hell? If they're lost and they aren't saved, are they on their way to hell? I don't think we truly believe this sometimes. They are. If they died right now, they're going to be in hell at this very moment. And I'm not saying this out of that I have done this every time. I have not. These verses are as convicting to me. They're truly convicting to me. And I want to be on fire for the Lord. And I, like some people are, they tell every single person they find about this. I think that's how we need to be. I think it's really how we need to be. Because if not, every person that we have the opportunity to give the gospel to, and we don't, and they die and go to hell, that's on us. The judgment seat, we're gonna suffer loss for that. We're gonna look back and God's gonna say, hey, that guy across from you at the gas station, you could have given him a gospel tract and you didn't. And guess what? He died and went to hell. You could have done that and you didn't. You're guilty. Is that what this means or no? Is that what this means? That's what it means. I think it should sober us. Verse 19 says, "Yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn from his wickedness, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." Wisdom is to not keep the gospel to ourselves, but to give it to other people. But then I want to look at the pitfall that we see in this chapter. And of course, I'm speaking of folly, the opposite of wisdom. So back to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. I'm going to read verse 13 through 18 again. "A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." So, first question I want to ask out of these verses is, where is folly found? I think it's very interesting to note that if you look back in verse 3, it says, talking of wisdom, "She has sent forth her maidens, she crieth upon the highest places of the city." Back to verse 14, talking about folly, the foolish woman, "For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat," where? "In the high places of the city." Same place where wisdom's at. Same place where wisdom's available. Also in verse 4, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith," in verse 4. And then in verse 16, it said, foolish woman talking, "Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." I guess the point is, for every wise counsel from God that we receive, there will always be a counter attack from the devil. He's always going to counter that and say, "Oh, no, hey, come over here. You want understanding? Let me fill you on the real facts. Let me fill you on the real understanding. Let me tell you how to really be wise." There's always going to be that. There's always going to be that battle. So where is folly found? Folly's going to be there. You're going to be tempted to follow the foolish way any time that you see you need to go the right way, the wise way, the way of God and walking in His Word. What does it look like? How do I know that I am being foolish? Verse 17. I think this verse is very interesting. I thought on this for a while and I prayed about it, and I believe this is the application of it. Verse 17, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." So I thought, what does this have to do? Like, hey, Dawson, let's go to Safeway, let's steal a bottle of water and let's go drink some water. Hey, that's fun, isn't it? Like, no, that's not what it's talking about. Bread eaten in secret, like, Hunter, let's go eat a pizza downstairs, but don't tell anybody about it, okay? That's not what it's talking about. It's not talking about that. What is water? What is bread? What are these things? I believe they represent the resources and the what God has given to us as natural as resources in our lives. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities. Dawson can play every instrument under the sun. Hunter can eat pizza. Hunter can do all kinds of things. You know, we all have different things God's given to us. Resources that He's given to us. How can we steal these resources? How can we steal the resources that God's given to us? Misusing them. But an example of that, the way in which would be most tempting for us to use them, is to use them in investing in this life and in us. When we take the resources that God's given to us, the talents He's given to us, the whatever it is, money, let's say we got money, and we invest it in us to make sure that we have a more comfortable life, to make sure that we have cooler friends, that we have the coolest house in the block, whatever the temptation may be, to have fun, to play games, whatever it may be, guess what? We're stealing the resources that God's given to us when we do that. When we take those resources and we invest them in ourselves, invest them in the life here, we are stealing from God. That's because he's told us what to do with that. We're supposed to invest in eternity. We're supposed to invest in eternal things, not temporal things. And then, let's see here, Ephesians 5, verses 14 through 17. It says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." If we're to be wise, what are we supposed to be doing? Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We're supposed to be, and I said through verse 17, sorry. "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Redeeming the time. Redeeming meaning we're supposed to use our time wisely. We're not supposed to waste anything. We need to use as much resources that God has given to us to invest in eternity and invest in winning souls for Christ. That's where the true value is winning souls for Christ. That's where the true value is. It says very, very similarly in, is that even a word? Similarly. Colossians 4, 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Yeah, these verses in and of itself, we're supposed to watch our every word we say, especially when we're around the world, because one slip up, one word in the flesh, or not saying anything at all, withholding the gospel from somebody, that could ruin the whole thing. That could ruin our whole testimony. We've wasted time that we could be using to try to win someone to Christ. That's folly. This is folly. Is stealing the resources that God has given to us, using them for that which is not valuable, these temporal things. We all know the parable of the talents, where one man was given five talents, one man was given two talents, the one was given one. The one with five, the one with the two, they went and invested it, and they gained five and two besides that. But the one he went and invested it in the earth, and he ended up losing that in the end. That's what happens to us if we invest the resources that God has given to us in here and now. That will not count for anything. It will not count for anything, which should drastically change the way we live. We should totally change the way we think based on that. But then lastly, though, I want to look at the parable that we see. I believe this accurately demonstrates folly and wisdom at the exact same time, working in the exact same place. Over to Genesis chapter 3. We've just recently been in like all of these passages. Genesis 3. I looked up, I don't know if you've heard my grandpa say or my dad say before, but there's a principle called the principle of first mention in the Bible. Or the law of first mention, I guess is what they call it. I wanted to find out where the first form of wisdom or wise or something, where the first use of that was, and it's here in Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons." We know the rest of the story. Because of the sin, now we're all cursed because of it. This curse of sin, this sin nature. Yeah, we know good and evil now, but guess what? Now there's a battle going inside our minds. We know if we're saved, you know? We have the Spirit of God telling us to do the wise thing, and our flesh saying, no, I want to do the bad thing. Well, if they had listened to God, that wouldn't be happening today. So, but I think it's very interesting the first time the word wise is used here. This is not true wisdom. We know it's not true wisdom because she's not fearing God. She said it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, what do you mean by wise? Wise meaning that you'll know good and evil. Well, they already knew everything they needed to know because God had provided them with everything they needed to know. So if they had just trusted in God, feared God, which is the beginning of wisdom, they would have never gotten into this mess and wouldn't have gotten us into this mess. So I think it's just very, very accurate, a very accurate parallel to see. You have true wisdom, which is obey God, don't eat of the tree. And then you have the false wisdom, which is what the devil's going to present to us every time. It's going to say, oh, but you will get this. And it may be true. If we pursue our career, yeah, we'll probably have a comfortable life here. We'll have enough money to, you know, sit back, relax. We'll have a good retirement. We'll have all these things. I'm not saying any of that is bad. I'm not saying that. Each one of us has different callings. But there's always going to be that counter truth that the devil's going to offer. And yeah, he was right. They would know good and evil. But there's always that lie in there. He didn't tell them exactly what was going to happen if they knew good and evil. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 and Proverbs 16, 25 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So the only way we can be truly wise is when it comes down to it, is we must fear the Lord. If we trust in the Lord and we fear him, we make and we obey his word, we can always know that we are on the path of wisdom. So anyway, that is the message that I have. So I know, like I said, I know there's way more, I think, in this chapter that could be gotten into. And I'm sure I missed a bunch of cross references that I could have put in there. And to be honest, I wish I could have studied this like for a whole week or maybe even a whole month. And I probably would have gotten a lot more out of it. But maybe you guys wouldn't have wanted that. Maybe you wanted a shorter message anyway. So anyways, but that is all we have for this evening for the message. So let us choose the path of wisdom.